Hello and welcome to the That's So Craven podcast, your Fulham pod from down under. We come to you just minutes after the Leeds game, and what a night it's been here in Australia. It was a shaky start, but Fulham found their way back into the game, and despite the 3-2 scoreline, it was a comfortable victory for the Whites, who go back-to-back for the first time since 2019 in the Premier League, and equal their win tally from that season too. Here to discuss the game with me, all the goals, I have Elton. How are you going, Elton?
I'm fine, thanks. A little bit tense, but I think I'm down now.
And unfortunately tonight we don't have Sam, owing to the fact that it is 2:15 a.m. where he currently is, so we've allowed him to go to bed. But he will be back later in the week when we preview the Everton game. So, look, Dad, let's just sort of recap the Leeds game. How are you feeling after that 90 minutes?
I found it quite stressful, actually. I thought it was tense. They just harassed us. And, I never felt that we were in serious trouble. I always felt we could win it, but it was quite tense.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. And I think a lot of that was probably down to the situation at Leeds too. The fact that Jesse Marsh is obviously kind of on his last legs at the moment. And I wouldn't be that surprised. Obviously, it's you know, 15 minutes post-game at the moment. I wouldn't be that surprised if within the next hour or even while we're recording this, we find out that Jesse Marsh has lost his job, similar to how Gerrard did last week. There was definitely that feel inside the ground that this one was a must-win for Leeds. And you could see that in the first sort of 10 minutes or so. They were really all over us. What did you think about their pressing sort of early on in the game?
Oh, it was, as I said, it was intense. And I think we handled it reasonably well. We did absorb it. they jumped us for sure. And they were definitely getting in and causing problems. But on the whole, I think we managed it reasonably well.
Yeah, I think we did sort of soak up the pressure early on, but it did feel a little bit worrying. And I agree that it did feel a bit tense because we seemed to kind of be on the back foot early doors. They were really pressing us hard at the front. They were moving the ball around really nicely as well, and they looked really up for it. And you could kind of see that, you know, if things started to go their way, and the ball was sort of falling their way early doors as well, it just felt like this could have been one of those games that gets away from you. A bit like, hard to say, the West Ham and the Newcastle game because decisions went against us, but it had that kind of feeling where you just thought, oh, no, this could be... We're expecting big things and this could be bad. And then 20 minutes in, we see the first goal. Felt a little bit against the run of play because the first 10 minutes we were definitely on the back foot, but we really got ourselves back into the game. And then the opening goal from Rodrigo. What were your thoughts on, I guess, a defensive effort there?
Yeah, firstly, I'd say that I think teams have kind of worked it out that Fulham like to start brightly, and if the opposition comes out and does the same thing, it does kind of break our rhythm somewhat, and we have struggled to get into games. But I actually thought, as you said, I thought we did it reasonably well. We got some control back in the game. I definitely agree with you that the ball was falling for them. There was some luck involved, and I suppose you'd argue that, you know, if you're working very hard and working hard to win all the 50-50s, then it always looks like the ball is falling for you. But I genuinely think a ball would squirt out and it would just be in the right spot for them to actually break forward. I do think that goal was against a run of play. But, you know, I guess it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You nick a goal and suddenly you've got momentum and the other team's on the back foot. Again, when that went in, it was very early in the game. I didn't feel that it was suddenly all over. But obviously not great to go down 1-0.
Yeah, it was a weird goal. The fact that I think we sort of actually defended it quite well in a way. In terms of the initial shot, which I think it was Jack Harrison took the initial shot. Tim Ream got a really good block in, got his foot across. The ball sort of balloons up at that point, and you kind of thought it was going to get dealt with a little easier than that. But yeah, I think Tosin could have done better. I don't want to blame him entirely for the goal, because I think it was tough. He was going in the wrong direction. It was over his head. He didn't really have much of an opportunity. Maybe he didn't know Rodrigo was there. But I feel like he could have done a little better there. Hard to say that another defender would have done a better job, but it did feel like it was kind of a soft goal, like heading in from 2 yards out, sort of unmarked. What soft goal?
Yeah, look, I actually thought once again that was the ball fell really well for them. Tosin could have done better. I mean, he was goal side of him. The ball fell brilliantly for him. Look, he still finished it off. He did it very calmly. But, you know, the ball was not meant to go there. He just happened to be in the right position. You know, if luck was running your way, he would have been offside.
Yeah, I did actually think for half a second that he could have potentially been offside. I was sort of waiting for the flag to go up, but it never really eventuated. But one thing I actually, I agree. It felt a little bit against our play. It felt like we could have dealt with it better. It felt like it just sort of fell nicely. I mean, how often does a blocked shot from miles outside the box result in a header from 2 yards out? Like, yeah. It just seemed to work out well for them. But nothing against the goal. They still scored it. One thing we did forget to mention, though, was, you know, Fulham's probably best chance at the start of the game. After about 12, 13 minutes, Harrison Reed almost scoring his third goal of the season.
Funny.
Beautiful cross in from Robinson, who worked really well with Willian down the left all day. Puts the ball into the box. Mitro jumps up. It's over his head, but he does really well to get a little touch on the ball. And that actually just puts it perfectly into Harrison Reed's path. Harrison Reed hits it, controls it really nicely on his chest, hits a really lovely volley, and perfectly blocked on the line by the Leeds defender. Did you think that was the opening goal, Dad?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Again, good defending. You know, fair play to them. But it just it said everything about Harrison Reed's game today. I thought he was absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, I agree with that. He had a really, really good game. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk on other podcasts about Harrison Reed potentially getting an England call-up. I didn't realise England are announcing a 55-man squad for the World Cup. You can only take 23 or 25 maybe, but they're deciding to announce a 55-man squad and then narrow it down from there. Surely Harrison Reed is a chance to get in that squad. I know there's some good midfielders ahead of him for England, but on current form at the moment, a team that is sitting...
His form's terrific.
Sitting seventh in the Premier League, getting good results. Harrison Reed is scoring goals, getting assists he got today. Like, he's surely got to be part of the conversation.
Look, scouts and the England setup would no doubt be aware of him. But like I heard another pundit say today, because it's Fulham, because it's Harrison Reed, he's under the radar. He wouldn't be in the public's consciousness as someone who could do a job. But, you know, as an England supporter, I'd be very happy to see him out there. I think he could do a job.
Oh, 100%. I think, you know, if you look at, what's his face, the ex-Leeds midfielder, Kelvin Phillips, he had a great season with Leeds. Leeds, you know, finished mid-table that year. He got himself into the England team and performed really well and then ended up at Man City. I'm not saying Harrison Reed's going to go on the same trajectory as that, but I think if you're picking people for a World Cup and it's based on form, Harrison Reed has to be in the conversation.
Well, if you're talking 55 players, he's got to be there.
Yeah, I mean, they from that 55, they must be picking, you know, 8 centre midfielders, surely, maybe more. People who can play sort of defensive right in the middle and attacking midfielders, so... There are some options for England anyway, but Harrison Reed's having a great season so far. And that was, I would have loved to see him cop another goal there. And unfortunately, it was blocked on the line. Really, really good defensive effort. So, look, Fulham were behind after 20 minutes. Like I said, I felt a little bit edgy at that point, and I felt like it could sort of go either way. But just 6 minutes later, equaliser comes in, another corner. And I remember messaging you guys or I might have been thinking about messaging and didn't quite get to it because it happened so fast. But I love the fact that we're a threat from corners, and I love the fact that when we get a corner now, I'm kind of excited and I'm just waiting to see what happens, because we've shown some really interesting set pieces, really well-worked things like, you know, playing the ball to the edge of the box, players running near post, Mitro peeling off and looping around the whole group of defenders and then getting it at the near post. It's been really exciting. And this was another obvious training ground drill. Pereira drills it in towards the near post. Mitro is, you know, a couple of yards out, heads the ball. It hits the keeper on the head on the way through and into the back of the net. Dad, should the keeper have done better there?
Well, should Mitro have been unmarked?
Well, he was marked, but he was just too strong.
I thought he was quite clear of his man. It was a really, really, really good header. But as you've rightfully said, a huge amount of credit goes to Pereira for that cross. And what I'm loving is that we've actually got an option as well. Willian's not so damn bad on the cross either. I thought it was a really great finish. And I thought we were really calm. There was a sense of belief that we were going to get back into the game. And we didn't panic. We did not panic. And the head certainly did not go down. So, I thought it was a fitting scoreline at that point of the game going into the break, for sure.
I think that's a really good point, actually, that we didn't panic. And I'd say a few years ago, we probably would have panicked when we were in the Premier League last time round, where you go behind, you're having a rough season, and you just sort of go, well, it's one of those games again. We've conceded early. It's going to be hard to get back. And we just didn't previously have the fight in us almost. But this team seems to actually quite enjoy a bit of a scrap and a bit of a fight. There were a lot of good tackles flying in from Reed and from Polina, and you know, the whole defence were actually working really hard together. And I think when you let in a goal like that early doors, it can have a bad effect on the side. And we didn't let it affect us, which is really important signs early doors. So I think that was positive that we bounced back so quickly.
Well, note that Silva in his press conferences always talks about how we respond. So it's a big thing. It's a big thing for him, as it should be. Also, following on from your point about corners, I totally agree with you that there's a sense within the team that a corners are well worth playing for. We don't just get corners off a wayward defensive header that happens to go behind. We actually work hard down the byline. We scrap for balls knowing that it might cause a corner because it's such a weapon for us. And that's an absolute transition for us from last year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all really exciting times at the moment. And you know, we're actually starting to get really good results in the Premier League, which is something we didn't get last time around. So look, after the equaliser, there were a few sort of half chances, but nothing huge. I remember Wilson had a shot blocked and Pereira as well. But the game sort of petered out a little bit. There was a couple of injuries. Sinisterra pulled up. Mitro pulled up as well, which was a little bit worrying because he was holding his foot and just looked a little bit off, looked quite serious, but he did manage to get up quite easily after that. Went into halftime 1-1. Dad, thoughts at 1-1 at halftime? How did you see this one actually panning out?
Well, my summary thoughts in my head at halftime was I felt that Wilson was really sharp. I felt like he was very close to back to his best, which was really great to see. And obviously Silva felt that to give him a start. I thought Willian was terrific. I thought he was exciting. He was insightful. He was brilliant. You know, what he's lost in his legs, he makes up for in his vision. And the way he spots players in positions and switches play, and just even uses his body, and there's not much of it, but he uses his body just so he buys himself another half a second to lay a ball off. He's terrific. And the way he's combining with Robinson is really exciting. There seems to be an understanding there. Robinson goes on the overlap. He's playing with incredible confidence at the moment. And I just thought there was a lot to be excited about in that first half. I kind of missed Cabano's high energy, but it's sort of where you want him on the bench so that when he can come on later. But I thought Mitro was pretty effective because, you know, what you expect from Mitro is not just goal scoring. You expect him to be muscling and actually being very physical, and I thought he was doing that. I thought Polinia, it was a better game from Polinia than the last couple of weeks. He just seemed to get the level right in terms of his interceptions and going in quite hard without being dangerous. Never ever looked like being fouled all game. And that was comforting. So I thought the midfield was working really well. And my only concern was and I'm not sure if it was just the pressure that they were applying on our defenders, but we did look a little shaky at the back. BDR was, he was getting beaten. There was just something a bit off in that first half with Bobby. I thought he there was just a few sort of unforced errors, but I'm not sure exactly what it was coming from, whether it was, you know, he was playing against someone who was pretty quick and slippery, but even Tosin looked like he was going to screw something up.
Yeah, I think they pressed really well high, and it did put a lot of pressure on the defenders. I think Sinisterra as well was sitting right on the touchline for most of the game, and they were obviously deciding that they were going to put some pressure on BDR and actually try and push down his wing, which they did really well. It just meant that it was sort of a one-on-one all the time. And, you know, Bobby is doing a job there, but he's not a one-on-one defender like Tete was. I think if Tete was playing, it would have been a very, very different game because Sinisterra wouldn't have had quite as much space and would have been shut down a lot more. And one-on-one, I would have backed Tete 9 times out of 10 there. There was one huge chance, which we really missed out on. Andreas Pereira, superb through ball from Willian. It was a big counter-attack, actually, from a Leeds corner. The ball sort of bobbles around. Mitro gets a good first touch, and then it drops to Willian, who hits a perfect ball out in front of Andreas Pereira. He's got Wilson out to his right, but decides to take it on himself. Dad, did you think that was 2-1?
It should have been, and he fluffed his lines there. He made the wrong decision. Keeper did quite well. But he should have done better because, well, obviously we're getting the wide camera angle. We can see Wilson's timed his run absolutely perfectly. He's got enough space without being too far out on the right angle. You would have thought it was a really easy ball to slip through, and the keeper would have been totally beaten. In the end, he just makes a bad decision and decides to do it on his own. The keeper did well, came off his line, and he read it really, really well. Frustrating because I think that should have been 2-1.
100% agree. I think the keeper did really well, stood up for a long time, didn't overcommit too early, which is why he saved that one. Like I said at the time while we were watching it, I 100% think Pereira, he just made a mistake there. He's an attacking player. He scored a goal against West Ham a few weeks ago. He's just got an assist from the corner. I think he should be taking that on every time. And 9 times out of 10, he'd score as well. And I don't hold it against him that he didn't lay the ball off, because I think most players wouldn't lay the ball off in that situation. So I totally understand it. It's a mistake. We should have scored there. That would have been 2-1 up after 30 minutes. I genuinely think that probably would have killed the game off as well, because we had goals in us, and you could see that for the rest of the game. So, second half starts. No changes for Fulham. Were you expecting any changes at halftime? I know Sam was screaming out for Tosin to come off.
No, I think, Tosin always makes me nervous. The weird thing was he was actually doing, spliced in with some of his more fretful play where he looked really vulnerable. He was actually doing a few good things. Some of his tackles were really quite good. And a few of his passes were really good as well. So he wasn't awful in the first half, but there were just a few situations where it was not good. But I wasn't expecting him to be dragged. I think you don't mess with your back four when you're Fulham in this current state. I think you back them. It's probably too big a call to pull Tosin off it at halftime. I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, just sort of sticking with that as well, though, were you surprised that Tosin came into the team after Diop put in what I thought was a pretty good performance in a clean sheet as well?
Very surprised. Very, very surprised. I didn't really understand that. I thought Diop very much earned his reselection. Mm. And I think he's actually looking to be, you know, exactly what we were hoping for. I suppose there's a real reluctance to drop Ream at the moment because he's just playing with a lot of confidence. And mm. I think he's good in the dressing room. I think he's good out in the pitch. And I think Silva recognizes that. So was that rotational? But off the back of a clean sheet last week, seems a bit weird to me.
Yeah, it probably was rotational. I guess if you think about it, really, Diop hasn't actually had that many minutes, and he didn't have much of a preseason at West Ham because I think he had a little injury before the season started. So it wouldn't surprise me if he maybe didn't pull up 100% from the game. And maybe wasn't 100% anyway, because I was expecting him late in the game to come off the bench. We brought in Shane Duffy instead. So maybe there's a little niggle there and he just thought, I'll just give him a week off. Because really, if I'd made any change, I probably would have dropped Ream for Tosin and played Tosin and Diop at the back together, which I think we'll see at some point. But I think that would have made more sense to sort of rotate Ream out of the team because he's played pretty much every game, I think. I don't think Ream's missed a game, has he?
No, he hasn't. But I really feel that Silva's riding the Ream wave because I think
he should.
100%. I think he thinks, and he's right to think that Ream, a good Ream is really good for us. I think it really is good for us. The supporters love him. I think he's an integral part of a sort of a happy winning side. One thing I do think is really interesting, and it's we think it's super tactical because we're thinking that Tete hasn't got some grave injury, but he's just being perhaps because he's so important to us and Bobby's doing a good enough job, and based on the fixtures that are coming over the hill at us, Silva is backing himself, which is quite brave, I think, to go, right, Bobby, again next week. It could be a really smart tactical manoeuvre to back Bobby, even though, you know, man for man, he's never going to be the best right back, in the Premier League or even in our team. But it's kind of working for us, you know?
Mm. I think all of Silva's decisions so far this season have proven themselves to be good ones so far. I think the other thing to consider with Tim Ream as well, the nature of this season with the World Cup coming up, and Tim Ream is currently not being selected for the US national team, and the US national team manager came out and said that Tim Ream does not fit the style of play that the US wanted to play. They wanted speed, and Tim Ream doesn't have speed, so he's not getting picked at this stage. Ream effectively only has to get through three more games until he's got a month off.
That's valuable to him.
I mean, tired legs, yes, but really, he's almost got through the whole, you know, half of the season without a break. And then he gets a massive break and he'll come back fresh from that because he's not playing in the World Cup. Probably take a couple of weeks off on a holiday and then come back and do a bit of light training before getting back into it. We're going to see a benefit from that. And the fact that, you know, I don't know exactly, I'm sure it would be easy to look into, but how many of the Premier League's top strikers are going to the World Cup? Quite a few. And they're going to have some tired legs come, you know, the sort of latter stages of the season. So having Tim Ream, Tosin, Diop, all not going to the World Cup is actually quite a big benefit for us. We're only going to have a handful of players going to the World Cup. So really, the fact that the squad gets to stick together and stay fit and get a decent rest is big bonus for us, especially sitting in seventh place at the moment.
And being so light and lacking in depth, for sure. I have to say that it has to be a fact that, you know, this is very hard on Ream's mid-30s body. But to be fair to him, there's no evidence that he's struggling fitness or just endurance-wise. He looks in good condition.
He doesn't look any more puffed than any other player at the end of a game. So, I think I saw some of the behind-the-scenes stuff with the Fulham team and, you know, asking who the fittest bloke at the club is, and a lot of them saying Tim Ream.
Well, there you go.
So, I mean, he's definitely defying his age, and his performances are shining through as well. So, look, second half, I think Leeds came out again and pressed really hard, and I think it looked like, you know, they'd probably got an absolute grilling from Jesse Marsh at halftime about the fact that he needs a job and he won't be in one if they lose a game at this point. They had a couple of chances, but really, and I mentioned this during the game, their final ball was absolutely terrible. They got themselves into some really good positions sometimes, but the amount of times you saw a ball get played through and just go out of play, it must have been five or six times when there was a really simple ball and they were just getting the weight of the ball completely wrong. What were your thoughts around their lead sort of playmaking? It just seemed, well, I mean, it's quite obvious why they're in the position that they're currently in, having watched their game, watched how they played against us. They're in the relegation zone now and it's obvious why.
Yeah, it's a bit confusing really because I think there's clearly some talent there, and they were making some really good runs, getting into good positions, and definitely breaking us down, which is obviously not the hardest thing to do, but they definitely were breaking us down. And then completely unforced errors, like you said, you know, just the ball just running over the byline, and the whole thing just falling apart. It's just weird. And so that sort of made me feel strange, I guess, because I never thought, oh, well, they're rubbish. They're never going to break us down. I felt like they were always going to break us down. But they weren't terrifying in that, you know, that sort of last piece of actually putting a dangerous shot on goal. It just didn't seem to be able to do it. And it wasn't just shots on goal. There were a number of passes that in midfield, they just went out of play. Not long balls,
yeah.
Just passes that just went out of play.
Yeah, and their finishing was pretty poor as well. I mean, the amount of shots, and as the commentator said, every time the ball got to Leno, the comment was that is a comfortable save for Leno. The shots never had any real power behind them. They were all straight down the middle of the goal, straight at Leno. Like, he didn't have to make a real save in anger for most of the game. They were a poor team. Their defense didn't seem terrible, but they weren't outstanding. And I mean, we seemed to slip through them quite easily a few times. But yeah, you got some good players there, like Aronson, Jack Harrison's a good player, Sinister is a good player, Rodrigo's a good player, and they were just. It almost looked like they were off, but I think they just play like that all season so far.
Well, to your point about the halftime chat. And how they got a rocket. Looking at their manager, he doesn't seem like he could forcibly get his blood pressure up about 130.
He did lots of almost looked a bit fake. The kicking of the water bottles and the throwing of the towels and stuff. It was all almost like you said, it almost looked like it was for show, which was quite funny, really.
Well, I think what's happening at Leeds was very similar to the Aston Villa vibe, where regardless of what the pundits are saying and regardless of what's obviously being said around the board table, their supporters are very, very vocally angry about it. And I think that's the final seal. You know, I'd just be astounded if he survives this.
Yeah, I'm actually I've jumped on Twitter just to see if there's any announcement, but there doesn't seem to be anything yet. But I mean, it's surely coming, because I don't see how he can get through that.
Well, I think, and fair enough too, because if you've got a decent squad and you've got quality, like the names you reeled off there, but they're not combining, there's a reason for it. And it's a bit like Parker, you know, with their $100 million squad. There's something not right for a manager who can't piece, you know, the right 11 players together and get something out of them.
Yeah, well, he's now only picked up 2 points from a possible 24 in his last, what's that, 8 games. So there's an issue there, and they need to fix it. And often the way you fix it is by sacking the manager. But again, there's an issue that there's probably not enough managers around. If they sack him, Scott Parker's available. That's the problem. So look, like I said, you know, they created a few little chances, but it didn't really look like anything was happening for them. We had a couple of shots on goal, but nothing in particular. There was a really good ball through from Fujao Palinha, where the defender got a little toe in. Harry Wilson had another shot blocked. It kind of felt a little bit Bournemouth-esque, where we were pressing and pressing for a goal, and you could see that if we had the time, which we kind of did, that a goal was coming. And eventually it did come after a couple of substitutions. We brought Niskins on for Harry Wilson. Patrick Bamford came on for Leeds, replaced Rodrigo. I was kind of surprised by that. I thought they'd leave Rodrigo on because he looked probably the most dangerous of the Leeds players during the game. And he did start to cause a few issues for us, but we did manage to hit back pretty well. Bobby Deck could overread the kind of unlikely scorer, considering he's playing at right back. I think if he was on the wing, we wouldn't be that surprised, because he did score quite a few times when we were in the Premier League last time round. But corner comes in, gets cleared out, play the ball back out to Pereira, and Bobby Deck could overread, for some reason, is left completely unmarked at the near post.
I think Leeds had run their, or sort of done their dash at that point. I think in setting out from the beginning of the game to press and harass us, I think they were tired. Not that some of our players didn't look very, very weary, but they were tired, and, you know, it was zero marking. Bobby had, he probably had 3-4 yards clear of anyone.
Or even, potentially.
Yeah, yeah. And it was actually a pretty good finish. It was actually very, very elegantly glanced. You know, it had great awareness of where the goal was. And, it's, you know, again, I commented at the time, I thought it was a wonderful reward for what he's done over the last month. You know, just a really great thing for him. Because if Tete comes in, does Bobby start? Maybe not. If next week William playing like he is and Harry Wilson is back to full fitness, and he looked pretty sharp. If Tete comes in, does Bobby get a game? Maybe not. So I thought it was a really great reward. I was very happy to see him score.
Yeah, I think we kind of need to remember as well, he is an attacking player. Like, it's not overly, we shouldn't be surprised that he was able to finish that. It was a great finish, a glancing header on that angle, just to get enough on it to guide it into that far post. And the keeper had no chance and didn't really move for it. I still say Meslier, or whatever his name is, the Leeds keeper, he's a poor keeper. And Meslier, that would be one of the first places I'd start with a Leeds rebuild, is getting rid of the keeper, because I think his distribution was poor and his actual shot stopping was poor as well. He should have done a lot better on possibly all three of the goals. But yeah, a super finish, found himself in acres of space, but again, he got himself into that space as well. And yeah, another assist for Pereira for the game as well. So Pereira was having an absolute blinder. And look, 10 minutes after that, it was 3-1 and the game was well and truly done. 84th minute, a superb, superb goal. It was my favourite moment of the game by far. A throw-in on the right side. Ball gets thrown to Mitro. We were sort of already starting to waste time at that point. I'm not 100% sure if Mitro actually back-heeled this one or if it came off a defender, but it falls to the feet of Harrison Reed, who, geez, he looked like Messi all of a sudden. Jinked inside, skipped over the leg of the Leeds defender. Usually at that point you'd square the ball back, but he took another touch, kept sort of dribbling down the line, really waited for it until he got to the perfect spot. Just put the ball perfectly into Willian's path. Willian had a little bit of a stretch, to be fair, but all he needed to do was get his foot on the ball, and that was a guaranteed goal because the goal mouth was wide open. What a goal. What more can you say?
Well, what I can say is that I thought that was 150% desire from Harrison Reed and exactly what we've come to expect from him. And I, you may have remembered, I texted you guys probably 5 or 10 minutes before that. I said, what I need from Harrison Reed right now is for him to just run wild and just break down everything. His fitness is remarkable. It was quite a taxing game because everyone was working very hard on both sides, and he never stopped. And his desire to change the game and actually make something happen was incredible in the second half. Really topped off by that little effort. You know, 2 years ago, a Fulham side would have just watched that ball run out of play.
Yeah,
and he was like, that's an opportunity, I'm onto it, and wonderful goal. And again, I loved seeing Willian score because I just think a happy Willian who's pinching himself about, you know, his rebirth in the Premier League, you know, a year ago, he couldn't have imagined that this could have ever happened in his life. And again, we've said it before, brilliant move by the club to bring him in, presumably all silver because he knows him. Just unorthodox, clever signing. And he's getting better every week. He's getting better. He was in everything tonight, absolutely everything. So many clever balls. So many times he picked up the ball and set up another phase of play. I thought he was terrific and really good reward for him to get a goal.
Yeah, those Portuguese-speaking lads at the club now are really, they're all firing at the moment, which is great. Obviously, Vinicius hasn't really had a chance, but Polina, Willian and Pereira are completely amongst the game, and they've obviously got a tight little group at the club, which I think makes a big difference too. You know, they all speak the same language. I saw they were all travelling up on the train to Leeds together as a little group. And it's things you like to see at the club. You know, I know there's a lot of guys at the club who are already tight with each other anyway, but the fact that you've got, it's weird to think that we've got this little Brazilian crew as well of Pereira, Willian and Vinicius. And, you know, we've got Rodrigo Muniz out on loan as well. We've got 4 Brazilians at the club, which is just weird to think of Fulham and Brazil. But it's showing in the way the team play, and it's showing in the bond that those guys have. There's really something good happening at the moment, and the good thing is that we're actually capitalizing on it and we're getting results. I think it would be really, and we saw it in the season we went down. I remember seeing lots of photos from behind the scenes, and all those guys who came in on loan actually got along together really well and seem to like each other a lot and work hard for each other, but it just didn't click, and it's clicking this year, and it's looking really good. And, you know, if we pick up a win against Everton, we go and assume we probably lose both the games against Man United and Man City, we're going into the break with a really, really healthy points total and really good vibes around the club as well, which is all you can ask for.
You know what's really interesting? The last 3 or 4 years has been really dominated by a lot of whinging and sort of deserved bad mouthing of Tony Khan. And it's really interesting that Tony Khan hardly gets mentioned these days. Maybe that's because he's off doing his wrestling business. But there seems to be a different vibe and dynamic between Silver and the executive management of the club. And maybe it's because they respect him more than they respected Parker. Maybe it's because and that could be a reason behind why they were prepared to go out and actually back Silver to buy a couple of these players like Polina, who, you know, they spent decent money on him. And I don't know. I think we seem to have moved on from that whole what's the word?
Palava?
We seem to be very blameful of Tony Khan's role in our downfall, and that seems to just not be there anymore.
It's an interesting one. I mean, there's not talk, but we know that with the transfer window just gone, Kazawa came in. And Silver's sort of come forward and said that I had nothing to do with that one. I didn't actually, not didn't want that one, but, I didn't want that one. That wasn't one that I agreed on. It wasn't one that I wanted. It wasn't one I picked out as a transfer that I wanted to happen. So that the Tony Khan conversations, it's a tough one because you look at some of the business he's done. Bernd Leno coming in. Polina coming in, Willian coming in. Like, we can't really complain about him. There's nothing to complain about when things are going good, but that's always the way it is anyway. Like, why would we complain when we're sitting seventh in the league? We're not going to be sitting there going, oh, Tony Khan, this and that. But, you know...
What I'm musing, Jack, is it a result of Marco Silva's higher level of credibility, respect, and a sense of belief that, you know, father and son have in Marco, that they've kind of given him a couple of key players that he does want, and that's why it's actually moved on to another level?
I think Marco said he wanted players earlier and he didn't get them. He said he wanted a midfielder as cover for the centre, and he didn't get one. I think we've done really good business, but I still think Tony Khan's involvement is not ideal. I think there's better ways to do things, and nothing against the Khans at all, because you know they've got us back into the Premier League 3 times now, which is a feat in itself. But I don't know. It's an interesting one, and it's a topic for another podcast, to be honest, because you could talk about it for an hour. But look, let's finish this one off anyway. We scored, we went 3-1 up, game pretty much over. Pretty sure the commentators said at about the 90th minute, they said, well, Leeds have 3 minutes to score 2 goals here, and about 30 seconds later, they pulled one back. Somerville with the finish. Bit of a defensive mix-up, just messy, Leeds pushing forward everyone. Leno potentially should have done a little bit better, came out, got sort of beaten to the ball by Somerville, who toe-poked the ball into the back of the net. But after that goal went in, it was very comfortable for Fulham. We actually saw out the game really well, which we've done a couple of times this year. I think we brought on Kenny and Vinicius at the end, and Vinicius used his body really well towards the end to waste a bit of time. We got the ball into the corner, game over. Really, really good win from Fulham. 3-2 win against Leeds, up to 7th in the table. Dad, your just general thoughts on your feelings after the game and seeing us sitting with 18 points after 12 games and finally actually back to a 0-goal difference as well.
Yeah, look, it was hardly a clean sheet. That would have been the perfect result tonight, but You know, great to score three goals. I thought it was a really, really great result for the club at this point in the season. As you said, seventh. it's funny, we were really pretty bullish about the month of October, and it's turned out, in terms of results, of actual match-to-match results, turned out nothing like we predicted. But we've still ended up in seventh position with a game to go in the month of October. And that's pretty exciting. I thought Somerville caused us quite a few problems when he came on. He's quick. Maybe we were a bit tired, but he's a pretty handy player. I thought he was going to be offside in that little move. Leno could definitely have done a bit better, but I'd like to see that replay again of the build up, and I suspect there was probably a defensive error there. So it's always easy to blame the keeper. Always looks like an idiot.
Yeah, it was messy.
Yeah, always looks like he should have done better.
Harrison Reed was around the ball. Shane Duffy was around the ball. The ball gets poked through Tosin's legs, which is when Somerville runs onto it. Reem is following Somerville, but Somerville's a lot quicker than Reem anyway, so gets to the ball first. Leno doesn't quite come out quick enough. It's a goal where if you conceded it in the 20th minute of a game, if that was the first goal we conceded, you'd be going, oh, shit, this is going to be a rough game for us. When it's conceded in the 90th minute plus two, you kind of go, well, that's just the other team piling pressure on and the pressure just breaks at some point because they're pushing people forward and stuff's happening. So I wasn't too worried about it, and I had a lot of faith that we'd be able to close out the game, and we did. So look, to finish off the pod, Dad, give me your man of the match. It's quite a tough one because there's a few people out there who you could vote for.
For me, Willian. I thought he was central in so many positive moves. I thought he was terrific tonight, and a really, really valuable guy in the middle of the park for us. I loved his vision. Just a perfect blend of maturity and experience and skill, where his experience and skill is actually making up for a slight lack of pace.
Mm-hmm.
He looked absolutely knackered. He looked knackered halfway through the second half. He was blowing really hard. He did his job, scored his goal, really perfect. That's my man of the match for sure.
Interesting, because I'm looking at the Premier League website and they do a man of the match vote post game, and the man of the match has been voted for by 21,000 people. 47% of them voted for Andreas Pereira as man of the match, so he's been given the official Premier League man of the match. For me, it was personally Harrison Reed. I think the harrying he did around throughout the whole game, chasing down balls, putting in really good tackles, just breaking up the play a bit as well, and putting in some good passes throughout the game. And then obviously the assist, the fact that he could have scored a goal. Like he just was everywhere for me. And I think it's Harrison for England for me. I think he's definitely pushing an England call up, and I'd love to see it just as a bit of, not justice as such, but I think his performances deserve a call up, and it would be almost feel unfair not to give him a call up because he has been playing so well this season. So he only received 1.4 of the total vote. 1.4% of the total vote. So I think Willian got 3.6%. So I think we've got some differing views on that. Pereira had a great game, a couple of assists, should have scored a one-on-one, but I think giving Pereira man of the match isn't too bad a decision either.
I'm happy with Pereira. I thought he was fantastic. Harrison Reed, effort wise, just he's and this is the thing about the whole England discussion. He may not be the most excuse me, he may not be the classiest finisher. He may not even be the most skillful, technically skillful player, but his engine is incredible, and that gives you something really special. And it proved the basis of many really good things tonight. So, yeah, no, I don't disagree with your view on that.
So, look, from here, we're in a really good spot, seventh in the league. Liverpool, you'd expect, will probably overtake us when they play their game in hand. Brighton sitting 3 points below us. Their next game, I think, is Chelsea. So I wouldn't expect them to instantly jump over us. But next week's game, and you and Sammy will talk about that later in the week, it looks like it's going to be an absolute ripper. And I think it's definitely one for us to keep an eye on as a bit of a... like a tester. You know, we talked at the start of October or just before October about what we were expecting for the month. I think most of us were sort of saying, what, 12 points? I can't remember exactly what we finished on, or rather agreed on as what we expected. But a win against Everton will give us 10 points for the month of October, which I think is a pretty good outcome. It would leave us on 21 points after 13 games as well. That's the big bonus there. We'd be very, very comfortably sitting inside the top half of the table. If I look at the table now, we've got 4 points on 10th place, 5 points on 11th and 12th and 13th. We're starting to create, not a gap as such, but we're actually keeping up with the teams above us, which is good. We're basically one win off being fourth at the moment. So it's all about keeping up that pressure, and we really do need a result against Everton next week. I know there's no pressure because we've been playing well and getting results, but I feel like we want to capitalise on that. And the fact that we're going into two Manchester games after that as well, this Everton game just takes on a little bit of extra importance for me. Your thoughts on the upcoming game?
Oh, I watched the highlights of this weekend's Everton game.
Yeah.
And I actually thought they were great.
They looked really, really good.
They look really good going forward. Mm. So that's going to be a really I think it's going to be a great game, really exciting. We'll have to be at our very, very best at the back. Can we score against them? Yeah, I think we can. But I think it's going to be close, really close. Right now, I couldn't call it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the one thing, as you said, we can score goals at the moment. We've scored 22 goals now this season. The only clubs that have scored more are Man City and Arsenal. We've scored as many as Liverpool, and Liverpool put 9 past Bournemouth. So it's not like scoring goals is an issue for us at the moment. Conceding them is. We've conceded 22, which is the third worst in the league, which isn't ideal. But we're starting to see it shore up a little bit. We obviously conceded 2 today, but... a clean sheet last week was great. So I think, like you say, the Everton game is going to be good. They're not sitting in the relegation zone like they were a few weeks ago. They're actually up in 11th now, although the table is quite tight down the bottom. But it's going to be a big game for sure. And I'm looking forward to it, even though it's a 12:30 a.m. start, which isn't ideal. But, for us anyway, it's not ideal for Sam over in Melbourne at the 3:30 a.m. start, but I'll definitely be up watching that one on Saturday night.
Yeah, same. No, exciting. Look, the one great thing is that if I was Frank Lampard and be thinking 3 points here, people will be, quite concerned taking on Fulham, you know, unless you're Man City and maybe Arsenal would probably feel comfortable with just about anyone in the league. We are now starting to be a club that's actually pretty difficult to beat. And that's, you know, it's a great feeling.
Yeah. And we're definitely, clubs will take us seriously as well when they come and play us. That's an important thing as well, because teams play differently against you. I think it's hard to say. Sometimes you want teams to underestimate you a little bit, but you know, I'm excited just to see what happens for the rest of the season. I think we're looking good, and I'm looking forward to actually getting to the World Cup and the Christmas break, and sort of seeing how we strengthen the side and how we can build on that. And the fact that we'll have Manus Solomon coming back, we'll have a fully fit team. I think today's lineup was probably as close to fully fit as we've seen all season as well. Only Tete was probably the only change I would make from that lineup today.
Is Everton at home next week?
The Everton game is at home, yes.
Yeah, that's good.
And then I think the United game the week after is at home, and then we're City away.
Yeah. Okay, I think that makes good. Sense. That's good.
Cool. So look, what we're going to do, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you so much for your time tonight. It's 12:15 out here in Perth at the moment, so it's a late one, but we definitely wanted to talk about this game because it is such a good result for Fulham. 3-2 win away from home. 5 wins on the board already, 18 points in the bag. It's looking good, and we're hoping the season continues to kick on in the exact same fashion. So, look, Dad, thanks for your time tonight.
Yeah, pleasure.
And come on, you Whites.